Warm greetings, friends, near and far. The Lord Jesus Christ be magnified forever and ever. His loving kindnesses, tender mercies, and compassions are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. His mercy endureth forever. This is Sinner Saved coming at you with the following short evangelistic gospel message, which is sponsored by Preacher Wayne Boyd and the brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus at First Baptist Church located in Almont, Michigan, USA. And God willing, this broadcast will reach you, Lima Charlie, loud and clear. It is my hope and prayer unto God Most High, the only Holy Father, that his only begotten Son, Christ Jesus, the Lord our righteousness, be greatly exalted, that his everlasting gospel be clearly proclaimed, that the pride of mere flesh and blood men be humbled, and that his elect saints be greatly encouraged, cheered, and comforted in these evil and perilous days. Please consider having paper and pencil handy to jot down the scriptural references for your own follow-up study. And so we begin with the weekend gospel message to follow for all hands. Heads up! Please find enclosed encouragement in so great salvation by the perfect and finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ in saving poor, needy, and wretched sinners by his sovereign free grace, that is to say, Almighty God and his unmerited favor, to save me and you from our sins and from hell. All is transparent and harmonious to his eye. We live in a world of mysteries. They meet our eye, awaken our inquiry, and baffle our investigation at every step. Nature is a vast arcade of mysteries. Science is a mystery. Truth is a mystery. Religion is a mystery. Our existence is a mystery. The future of our being is a mystery, and God, who alone can explain all mysteries, is the greatest mystery of all. How little do we understand of the inexplicable wonders of a wonder-working God, whose thoughts are a great deep, and whose ways are past finding out. But to God nothing is mysterious. In his purpose nothing is unfixed. In his forethought nothing is unknown. In his providence nothing is contingent. His glance pierces the future as vividly as it beholds the past. He knows the end from the beginning. All his doings are parts of a divine, eternal, and harmonious plan. He may make darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. And to human vision his dispensations may appear gloomy, discrepant, and confused. Yet he is working all things after the counsel of his own will, and all is transparent and harmonious to his eye. Excellent. That was from old-timer preacher Octavius Winslow. Jeremiah 32:40. The Lord speaking here. I will put my fear in their hearts, and they shall not depart from me. I will, and they shall. Such is God's gracious way of saving his people, while proud legal hearts and self-righteous spirits, puffed up with notions of free will, are ever contending for terms and conditions to be performed by dead sinners in order to be saved, or by creatures insufficient of themselves to think a good thought to secure and make effectual salvation to their own souls. But this fear of God is a blessing of the covenant of grace. Naturally, the fear of God is not in our hearts. It is one black mark of an unregenerate person. He has no fear of God before his eyes. How awful, how deplorable is this! Yet, naturally, we fear not the power of the Lord, nor dread his wrath, nor are we at all sensible of our danger. What wonder of love, what matter of thankfulness, that the Lord hath put his fear in thy heart, O Christian! The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is perfectly consistent with the strongest faith, the most inflamed love, and the highest spiritual joy. Though by faith in Jesus we are delivered from a servile, slavish fear of God, which fills us with legal terrors, yet we are possessed of a filial, loving fear towards him as to a tender and affectionate father. This fear shall dwell in the hearts of saints all their days. This fear keeps souls from sinning against the God of love. The blessed effect of it is that they shall never depart from me, saith the Lord. Thy soul, believer, being rooted and grounded in the truth as it is in Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, expecting life and salvation through faith in him, shall never depart from this good old way of the Lord into bypaths of human errors and destructive ways of total apostasy and final unbelief. The Lord's fear shall preserve thee in thy Lord's truth, though thine enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, should surprise thee into sin against thy Lord, should draw thee from sweet communion with him, yet that shalt thou fear to lie down in thy shame while confusion covers thee. Thou shalt remember Jesus ever lives to save to the uttermost all sinners who come unto God by him. Thou shalt fear to seek any other object but him. So shalt thou return by faith and repentance to him. As it is written in Proverbs 28:14, happy is the man that feareth always. Salvation is forever nigh. The souls that fear and trust the Lord, and grace descending from on high, fresh hopes of glory shall afford. Christ's righteousness is gone before, to give us free access to God. Our wandering feet shall stray no more, but mark his steps and keep the road. Preacher William Mason. What a wondrous Savior! Lo, the Son of God descended from our guilt to set us free, shed his blood to seal our pardon when he died at Calvary. Jesus, what a wondrous Savior! He is all our hope and plea. Sing his praises, you who know him, now and for eternity. With the eye of faith we see him, hanging on the cross of shame, dying to redeem his people. Hail the Savior's matchless name! To the cross they nailed the Savior. For the guilty Jesus died, sacrificed by God the Father. By his blood we're justified. Christ arose in mighty power, then ascended, sovereign King. Praise the name of our dear Savior. He to us is everything. Soon he will descend from heaven, take us home to be with him, evermore to sing his praises with the saints and seraphim. That was to the tune of the old gospel hymn, Love Divine, words from by Jim Bird. Kindness. Someone said that kindness is the truest revealer of a person's greatness. Kindness is that ability to love and treat people more than they really deserve to be loved and treated. Kindness is like snow. Everything it covers becomes beautiful. The psalmist said of the Lord, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 117, verse 2. Paul wrote to Titus and said, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. There is no question but what the greatness of the Lord is seen in his works of creation and providence, but the salvation of sinners by the person and work of the Lord Jesus. That is the truest measure of the great kindness of the Lord. In salvation, there is clearly manifested his justice, wisdom, power, grace, love, and kindness. He showed everlasting kindness to those who do not deserve even the least of his mercies. The Lord loved the unlovable and manifested, quote, the riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus, end quote. Ephesians 2, 7. In his truth and mercy, God has covered our sins, actually removing them from us by the blood of his Son, and has made us to be whiter than the snow. David asked in 2 Samuel 9:1, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may shew him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Upon learning that Jonathan's lame son remained yet alive, Mephibosheth was fetched to the king. In great mercy, David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely shew thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father's. And thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. 2 Samuel 9:7. Even so, the Lord our God showed us kindness for Christ's sake, and in his Son he has restored unto us all that we lost in our father Adam, and infinitely more. Children of God, in light of the Lord's kindness to us, be ye kind one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Ephesians 4:32. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. 1 Corinthians 13:4. May God give us grace to show kindness even to those who deserve no kindness, even as he showed kindness to us. And the Master said in Luke 6:35, the Lord Jesus said, "But love ye your enemies, and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." That was a great message from Preacher Jim Bird from 13th Street Baptist Church, located in Ashland, Kentucky, USA. His mercy endureth. A reading from Psalm 136:1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Brethren, God's mercy is from everlasting and is a treasure that can never be spent, never exhausted unto eternity. If God will but continue to be merciful to me, will a poor soul say, I have enough? Hath God pardoned thee hitherto, and yet thou sinned again? Can he stretch his mercy a little further? Why, he will stretch it out unto eternity, unto everlasting. And if one forever be not enough, there are 26 forevers in this one psalm. That's chapter 136, brethren. That was from Thomas Goodwin. When our Savior died, he redeemed all of those given to him by the Father in covenant, grace, and mercy. At the appointed time, the people of God are called home through death to be with Christ, for he satisfied all the demands of divine justice for our salvation, and the Spirit has granted us faith in the Savior. Though we sorrow when a loved one or someone we worshiped with goes home to glory, how blessed are those who enter into the presence of the King, as it is written in Psalm 116, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Let us never imagine, however, that the ransom in heaven are any more loved or valued by our Savior than the saints who still remain here. A farmer sows his seed, the corn grows, and he begins to gather his harvest into his barn. Certainly the crop collected in the storage bin is important to him, but no more so than the corn still growing on the stalk. He will continue to reap his corn, or his crop, until all has been gathered into his barn. Even so, though many of the saints of God are with the Savior in glory now, he will not fail to gather all of his people into his garner at last, for all are treasured by the Lord. It is written in Isaiah 45:22, where our Lord Jesus Christ commands, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." And the Master, Christ Jesus the Lord, says in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Friends, it is imperative that you flee to Christ Jesus today, not tomorrow. For none of us are promised another day on this planet. Today is the day of salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ while he may be found, and seek him while he is near. Only by being in Christ, the ark of our salvation, may we be delivered from the fierce wrath of Almighty God, which is coming soon upon the wicked. Great is our Lord Jesus Christ, and greatly to be praised. Take heart, friends. Our mighty and glorious King of glory is inbound for his afflicted saints. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Maranatha.